This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From a conservative standpoint, is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that we don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Welcome in on a Monday morning. Glad you are with us. You're going to certainly need the jacket out the door this morning. Still a little on the chilly side. There was some frost on portions of my truck this morning as I went out the door. It was just warm enough yesterday that you kind of get lulled into this false sense of how warm it's going to be when you leave the next morning. There's a little chill in the air yesterday, but for the most part, it's going to warm up. It's going to warm up nicely today. Hopefully we're out of the worst of it. And you can get out and enjoy what appears to be the start to a beautiful day out there. Good to be back. I had a great week off. Had a great weekend with the Brian Kilmeade event. Loved seeing all of our friends out there. Ran into some great folks that live over near Carlisle, Illinois. So good morning to them if they're listening this morning. They said they own a campground over there somewhere. And they gave me this great bronze coin with Donald Trump's face stamped on it. They were handing them out. They gave one to Annie and I think one to Mark while we were out there on Saturday night. And we had Brian Kilmeade on this morning, in case you missed it, at around 5:35. We were able to get him on, and we're going to let you listen to some of that conversation a little later, just in case you had to miss that and you hadn't tuned in yet. We will let you listen to what Brian had to say, not just about being in St. Louis. Of course, he loves it here. We loved having him here. But also his comments on some of the stuff that's going on nationally with the judges trying to shut down and target the Trump administration. Well, the activists judge shopping to try to shut down the Trump administration. Let's put it that way, because that's really kind of what's been going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, I asked him that question about system overload, where there's so much stuff happening on a daily basis that people want to stay up and in tune with what's happening around the country, but it gets overwhelming. And he had an interesting answer that I think people will like, because I've heard that from many people where they're interested in staying up on things, but when they go try to read stuff, it's just like, it's too much information, there's too much happening, and I just want to tune all of it out.
The crazy part is, and we joke that it's like drinking from a fire hose, but to understand what happened yesterday, you have to understand what happened the week before, and mm-hmm. you have to understand what happened, like, let's say, the day after he got sworn in.
Yeah,
I mean, all of it's kind of combined, and, you know, unless you're an information junkie, like many of us are, I know I certainly fit that category, it is kind of hard to keep up. So interesting. You can hear Brian's comments here at the bottom of the hour at around 7:35. We're going to get to that. We got Riller Fake News coming up next. But Carl Middleman, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
62%, for example, of the federal injunctions that have been handed down in the last century were handed down against President Trump.
Wow. Imagine that. In 100 years. Well over half of the injunctions filed against presidents of the United States have been filed against one man.
USA! 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 USA!
Yep, it's that man who walked into an arena this weekend for the NCAA Wrestling Championships, Donald Trump, and was greeted by chants of USA.
I can't walk past the TV without seeing a Tesla on fire. You're like, what's going on? Some people, it's like, listen, I understand if you don't want to buy our product, but you don't have to burn it down. That's a bit unreasonable, you know?
You think? Yeah, Elon Musk, as only probably he could put it or would put it, it's they're psycho, is what he said this weekend. And he's absolutely right. So they're targeting the people who probably voted with them in many cases, but what they're targeting are the $100,000 most expensive Teslas who they assume might be somebody who didn't vote the way they would prefer.
No, I don't care what that judges think. As far as this case, we're going to continue to arrest public safety threats and national security threats. We're going to continue to deport them from the United States.
Yeah, Tom Homan there, the bulldog, and you know what he's doing? He's doing exactly that. It's not about defying federal judges. I think it's an important conversation to have here. This is not about defying federal judges. It's about judges overstepping their authority in many ways. So think back on this, right? You've got people who are filing these cases left and right, trying to do something to slow down Donald Trump. Take it back to the issues surrounding the election in 2020, if you would prefer. The Democrats love to throw out the fact that, well, there were, 50 cases filed around the country and not a single one of them was taken to court all the way. Well, it's because most of them were thrown out not on the merits of the case, right, at all. But they were thrown out because they argued these people didn't have standing. Isn't it weird that in all of these cases against Donald Trump, you haven't heard that even, I think you've only heard that excuse used one time that I can think of. They've immediately found merit in all of these to the point that they think they have the authority to stop the sitting executive of the country who was elected overwhelmingly with a majority of the Electoral College and the vote. They think they have the authority to stop him from making decisions about firing people and about handling criminal aliens. The most ridiculous argument I heard this weekend was that, there was some Kilmeade had some congressman on last week from Colorado. I was listening to his show as I was driving, and he's making the point, what if their rights were violated? What if their due process rights were violated? And I'm like, They're not citizens. They don't have due process rights. What are we talking about here? You don't have a constitutional right. You're a criminal. Well, what if they weren't the worst of the worst? So we should just keep them here just in case?
This is what's so weird about this whole situation to me, because even though I think if you've crossed our border illegally, then you're automatically a criminal. But let's just, for argument's sake, for that side, say, okay, let's just deport the people who actually have criminal, like I'm talking theft or assault or murder or something like that. That's what's so dumbfounding to me, is that these people, the ACLU, the federal judges, they're all pushing back on those people being deported. Uh-huh. Like, can't we all just agree that those people don't belong in our country? Even if you think that just the illegals should be here, whatever, even though I don't agree with that, fine. I can at least justify that a little bit more than I can the actual murderers who they think should somehow have a right to stay here in the United States when they too came across the border illegally.
It is all about orange man bad, that they seem to be focused on it. And, I think Pam Bondi had a great point, because she called out some of those judges by name this weekend. Listen.
Look at Chuckin. Look at Judge Chuckin with the EPA trying to control our money. Judge Chang trying to control the money of the USAID. Judge Reyes, look what she did to Pete Hegseth. She made personal attacks in court about Pete Hegseth, and she's trying to control military readiness. You can't do this. And then, of course, Boasberg trying to control our foreign policy. These judges are out of control. We are going to fight back, and we are going to win.
Yeah, I hope she's right, and I hope that finally the Supreme Court will step in and do something about it. We will see about that. Coming up, we're going to get to this week's edition of Real or Fake. Are we going to get Drew in here on this?
Yes.
We're going to give Drew a chance to pick the music for the
Ethan
morning show.
Ethan can't win.
Well, he's not here.
Yeah.
I know. There you have it.
You have hope, Mark.
And at 7:35, you'll hear from the one and only Brian Kilmeade, who spent Saturday night entertaining a crowd of 1,700 out at the factory in Chesterfield. We'll be right back.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the Real or Fake News Quiz. My name's Carl, and every week at this time, when Mark Cox is here, we do this news quiz where I read you headlines, and the people in the studio today, Kim, Drew, and Mark, try to tell me if they are real or if I made them up. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, Carl. Are you starting with me in honor of me being back?
Well, our three-week-in-a-row champion is not here.
That's true. We need to take advantage of that.
He will
Ethan
be back
out
tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
But, Mark, we're going to start with you. Real or fake, you've had Fruit Loops before, right?
Of course.
The Fruit Loops mascot, Toucan Sam, his full name is Toucan Sam Vega. Is that real or fake?
That is fake.
Kim Sainach.
I'll say weird. Real.
I'm going to go, I don't know, I feel like this has been a trend lately of full names, like Scooby-Doo's full name is Scoobert Doo. So I'm going to say real.
That's fake. I made it up. In fact, I made it up 7 minutes
ago. Oh, did you? Nice. Nice.
All right, Mark.
Kim Sainach. Real or fake, McDonald's now sells more chicken than beef. Real or fake?
Fake.
True. Yeah. Fake.
Mark Cox.
I've got to say fake, too. I don't believe that's the case.
It's real. As of 2024.
You mean the pink slime?
No.
They sell more chicken sandwiches than
beef.
Big Macs?
Yes.
No, you go to McDonald's for a quarter pounder with cheese. You don't go there for
okay,
a chicken sandwich.
Their chicken sandwiches are surprisingly good.
Really?
They really are.
Every week, there's one of these where you guys go, no, no, no. And then as soon as we get off the air,
it's a real chicken. Right. It's a real chicken, though.
It is.
I mean,
yeah,
I still eat the nuggets, even though I've seen the videos of the slime.
I can't vouch for the nuggets. I'm talking about the
chicken
sandwiches. The actual chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
You can get them spicy or plain. And they are really good. I buy them for my mom sometimes.
Well, I just don't eat their McRib, the fake rib that you like.
It is good, too. That's good, too. Real.
Fake fish? Fish fillet?
It's not as good as it used to be, but I'll still eat one every once in a while.
Drew Young, real or fake, 380-million-year-old fossils were dumped in a landfill after a New Jersey college did not pay a UPS bill. Real or fake?
You know, I like this one. I'm going to say real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to say real.
I'll say real.
It is real.
We're all agreeing so much.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you're still up.
You are, Mark. You're up 2-0. They didn't pay their UPS bill, and so they just tossed the fossils.
Did they find them?
I don't have that information.
Okay, all right.
Mark Cox, real or fake, according to Sportacles' U.S. Capitals quiz, which is a quiz where participants are given 10 minutes to name all 50 state capitals.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
The most forgotten state capital is Jefferson City, Missouri. Real or fake?
I'm going to say fake.
Kim Sainach.
Fake.
Drew Young.
I don't want to agree with everybody, but fake.
It's real.
That surprises me.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. In fact, 61.5% of people forgot about it. Or that's the one that they didn't have the most.
Okay. I'm surprised at that.
I would epically fail at that test.
Well, Kim Sainach, real or fake, the most remembered state capital is Sacramento, California. Real or fake?
Fake.
I'd say fake.
Mark Cox.
I'd say real.
It's fake.
Oh.
Okay, we're all tied up.
Hey, so Kim, what do you think it is?
I don't even know. I'm trying to think of... I think people would mix it up. I think people would say Los Angeles. That's why I said fake. I think people would get it screwed up.
I know. These would have been correct. The number one is Austin, Texas.
Of course it is. It depends on who you're asking. If you're asking the younger crowd, they'll probably say that. 86%
of people guessed Austin, Texas. As
how do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky, Carl? Is it Louisville or Louisville?
Neither. It's Frankfort.
Nice. He got it right.
I win.
But okay.
I would have forgotten that.
Give yourself a point there.
Thank you. Drew Young, real or fake? Ooh, Kim, this is in your wheelhouse. More than one in five siblings have first names that start with the same letter. Real or fake?
Say real.
Mark Cox.
I'll go with real on that. More than one in five, that's the standard.
Yes.
I'll say real.
It is real. Baby Center analyzed the names for 128,000.6 parents. And if you have babies, more than 20% of you do the same letter.
Huh. Interesting.
Are you thinking of that, Kim?
We have names, but neither of them are the same letter.
Ah, okay. Who's up?
Mark Cox?
No idea.
I think it's
Mark
me.
Mark Cox.
Yes.
You're still up by one.
Well, no. Whoa.
Yeah, he had two right. Yeah, he had two right. Mark Cox, real or fake? Beavers saved a Czech city and their taxpayers $1.2 million by building a dam that was hung up by red tape. Real or fake?
As in a Czechoslovakian city?
Yes.
Czech, when you say Czech?
Czech. In Czechoslovakia, beavers made a dam where the government could not. Real or fake?
I'm going to go with real on that because it just sounds just outrageous enough.
Kim St.
I'll say real.
I'm going to say, is Czechoslovakia still a place? I'm going to say fake.
It's still a place. But it doesn't matter. Winning. We're going to hear a whole bunch of Van Halen on Friday.
Ah, yes, you are.
Because
some deep cuts. We're going for some deep cuts of Van Halen.
I feel an illness coming on, and I think it's going to hit me Thursday night.
You might even hear some Wolfgang Van Halen.
Oh, great.
As long as it's Van Halen. So. That's great.
Mark was texting me on Saturday about Brian McKenna passing, and I thought it was because he had heard that I had played some Sammy Hagar at the hockey game.
I did not hear that.
But I did.
Well, okay. All right. Good. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jesse Jane Duff and Tom Ackerman. We'll talk some basketball and hockey at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
When my wife and I got married after both graduating law school, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. Ultima had to give me her gas card just to drive home. We never could have imagined that one day we would have the largest injury firm in the world and $25 billion in money collected and counting. As good Catholics, we had four children fast. They all work in the firm today, our family protecting yours. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. But our greatest gift was years away, grandchildren. Today we have six and counting. It's the greatest joy that we have ever experienced. I think about them all day long. Our family promises to protect your family should you need us. Call us. It's easy. Visit forthepeople.com and make sure you hug your grandchildren. God's final gift to us. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Walking around this old and empty house.
So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
We have Brian Kilmeade on the phone. Buddy, how are you?
Hey.
Hey, Brian, can you hear me?
Yep.
It's Mark. You're on the air, buddy. What's going on?
What's going on, Mark? Great job over the weekend. Fantastic.
Thank you for including us in that, Brian. It was almost a sellout crowd. I mean, what'd you have, 1,700 people there almost?
Yeah, I mean, they told me it was sold out. I mean, when we started the morning, we had to sell 80 tickets. I think we did it. But your daughter also singing the national anthem, just killed it. I hope you got some of the pictures. They just sent them out. I just was looking at them like 10 minutes ago. But you were great.
Well, we appreciate, St. Louis appreciates you coming to town, buddy, and you could tell that by the fact that there were people standing in line at the box office for the few tickets that were left once it started. The VIP session was great, and people just loved hearing you tell your story.
Yeah, and I just think that some with St. Louis, I've always hit it off there. I just love coming to visit. This is the first time. I always use the book as an excuse to come out there, yeah. And this is the first time we actually just went out. And to be able to interact and do things on stage. And I think the Factory, if anyone hasn't been there, I just don't know if there's a better venue. I can't see a better venue.
Yeah.
It is just so perfect. You know, even the behind the scenes, the facilities, the people who work there, the audio. We were adding things in the audio the last minute. They nailed all of it. So I just couldn't, you know, to see the people, to meet everybody in person, to see you guys on stage. You were great sports. Annie Fry, you, Mark, and Mark Reardon. You know, we just went over some things before and just enhanced those moments, which we had fun with it, but it was actually with fun references. That's exactly what was in the books and what happened in our past. So I thought, I don't want this to be a lecture. I want it to be fun, and you guys helped me make it fun.
You know, we were talking about this before we were connected with you on the air about how much you do. Obviously, Fox and Friends and then your radio show, just all of the things, your books. I've heard from a number of people, including conservatives, and they say, gosh, there's so much going on in the world right now, even just here in the United States, that it gets overwhelming to try to keep up with everything. I don't know if you've heard people tell you that. What would you tell people who feel like, I want to keep up on what's going on in the world, but it's overwhelming because it's just system overload with how much information's coming in?
Yeah, I think we should go back to a little bit the old formula, live your life, and politics goes into the background. For a lot of people, it's moved front and center. It's as if it's something to do with their property values or their, you know, college application. I think that we should understand, too, as much as this stuff matters and we care, a lot of it really is not going to affect your life. I mean, I want the border to be secure. It's probably, you know, you let 8 million people over the course of 4 years. It's definitely going to help. It's definitely going to hurt. But, like, little things that go on around the country, we're so tapped in, we think it's happening next door. And my thing is, for me, I just love it. I mean, I love seeing what's next. I love to see what Trump's doing next. The pushback is also interesting. That's what makes it, to me, it's the way I used to love sports. I like sports, but I used to say, you know, the best part about sports is the people. You know, the Pitino-Calipari relationship led to that game. When I watch a big fight, I don't care about the fighting. I care what led to that fight. That's why we cared about Ali Frazier, what led to that. And that's what I love about politics. I love the personal journey. Who's going to emerge on the left? And, you know, who's getting big crowds in the middle, AOC and Bernie Sanders? What can you learn from that? Well, what do they say? You know, what are people saying? And then the Tesla. Who ever thought we'd be talking about defending Tesla cars? To me, that's true. Interesting. I don't find that overwhelming. I find that, well, what's going on there? Are you guys so hypocritical to understand that most of the people whose cars you're keying, most of those people whose cars you're lighting on fire are Democrats? And the guy that you're vilifying has done more for clean energy than anybody else, including setting up a solar city. So it's that type of stuff. I can't wait to get behind the microphone when you can further define that. So I have a different view on the speed and the number of stories.
Yeah, it's a great point, Brian. I don't know what's your time limit here. You got to go in a minute. Still got a minute.
I got a minute.
So last night, Saturday night, one of the questions that was asked you in the Q&A was about what the administration is going to do with these activist judges. I heard Pam Bondi comment on it, Mike Johnson. They all want the Supreme Court to step in and shut them down.
And I think Josh Hawley is going to lead that charge. Really, he is a real legal scholar. So they're not going to go. They're not going to defy orders. You watch the Sunday shows. Everyone's defying code. Trump is going to defy a court order. Trump's going to defy a court order, kind of like Joe Biden did with student loans. That was no catastrophe. It was terrible. It still is terrible. But he's not defying a court order. He's working through the system and going through the frustration. But I just don't think a district court, which is not in the Constitution, judge put there by Joe Biden. And you know what? If I see conservative district judges stopping, let's say, President Josh Shapiro in 4 years or 8 years, I would feel the same way. I'm like, no, no. Debate him in debate this whole thing, have it out, foreign policy, domestic policy. But I just don't think a judge put there by a political person, not even elected, should be stopping people's foreign policy. I think legitimate questions are who's on that plane.
Yeah, it's a great point.
But to say why it's in the air and should I turn that plane around is something that looks like it's petty and personal.
Brian, thank you for giving us a few minutes in the middle of your show this morning, buddy. We appreciate it.
Mark, thanks for all your great work. Thanks so much for telling everyone about the event, or else we would not have had that crowd. And great job on stage. You're an actor, and your daughter's incredibly talented. And I look forward to seeing what's next for her. Thanks so much, Mark.
You bet. Take care. Brian Kilmeade there live in New York, probably standing behind the set of Fox and Friends while he was talking to us. I could hear a little bit of noise in the background. That's pretty cool.
Make sure you send that to Ginger.
Yeah, no kidding. I know she's probably not up quite this early, but she'll be up soon for school. I was pretty proud of her. It's nice. Brian's being very nice here.
I'm sure you have to be proud of her, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was really, if anyone missed the national anthem that she sang on Saturday, we aired it this morning, and you should listen on the Odyssey app. It was really well done.
Well, thank you for saying that. Well, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Normally, we would have done it there. We had an opportunity to get Brian on. What are we talking about?
You've done 23andMe, right? Did you tell me you've done that? Or something similar
ancestry.
To that?
Ancestry. I think
okay,
it was Ancestry.
So something along those same lines. I know they're very, very popular. Well, of all people, the California AG's warning about that, saying, hey, heads up, there's a pretty good reason that you should delete your data right away if you've done 23andMe. I'll explain.
Kim on a Whim.
If you're one of the 15 million people that has used 23andMe, there's a warning for you. This is actually coming from the California Attorney General, but he's talking about how you should consider deleting your data immediately because the company could be facing bankruptcy. Well, why should you care about that? Well, if the company goes bankrupt and is taken over by a different company, then what happens to the data? The saliva sample that you gave them to trace your ancestry back to however many generations it can go back.
Right.
What happens to all of that? What do they do with it? Are there any restrictions on that particular company that buys out 23andMe?
It's a good question. I mean, the thing about it is most of it's in the fine print, right? When we download
always
apps.
Is.
Well, when we download apps, we don't pay any attention to the fine print. And then you don't know what you've given that company permission to do with your information.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's basic stuff, but other times it's maybe a credit card number or something you've had to give them to sign up for this app. And then all of a sudden they've got more information than you'd like. Within this case, it's very personal.
Yeah, well, and think about this, too. Let's say you're brother or sister did the saliva sample thing to do the test and it's tracing back all these things in your family. Well, you weren't the one who gave the saliva sample, but this company would still have information about you. So you don't really get a choice in all of that. There is a way you can actually delete it. Now, when companies say that you can, delete the information, I'm not sure I actually believe them because I feel like once you put it out there in the world, it's out there. I mean, that's at least my mindset going into it. But they say if you go under settings on the 23andMe account or whatever, and you log on to your account, that there is a way where you can go to 23andMe data and delete the data. And supposedly it will permanently take care of that and remove your information.
You just have to do what you can do. Because what you don't know is whether or not they've sold that information to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know if they've sold that information to somebody else. So you do what you can do. You can only control your space. You've already chosen to give the data. Like for me, I did that with Ancestry a few years back. And I did it for what I thought were good reasons. I did it for my mom because she thought she might have a half-sibling somewhere in Europe because her dad thought he had a girlfriend when he was in Germany after the war and like World War I. And so we just went ahead and did the swab and sent it in. And sure enough, there's somebody running around in Germany that is a cousin of mine, which is weird. But I also found out that you have to pay a small fortune to get a membership to find out more information on whoever that person might be. So I don't know what all I gave up by putting my name in there. I did try to restrict people having access to contact me and and that sort of thing when I filed for it.
Well, even when you download an app to your cell phone, it will say something about ask the app not to track. And I always click ask it not to track. But again, do we really believe all of this? You know, like, there's all these things you can win for free, or it enters you into a contest, and all you have to do is put your email information into that, you know, website. But what they're doing then is taking your email and they're selling it to other companies to then start, you know, sending you all kinds of promotional stuff, because that's right. Very valuable.
Sure.
Just your information. But remember, they are using these genetics tests to help some of the cold cases. Remember the Golden State Killer?
Yes.
It was like back, I want to say, was it 2018, I think it was, and they were able to use the ancestry stuff that I guess he had done or something like that, and were able to track down this guy that had been a cold case for years.
Well, there are positive aspects
there
to it.
Are.
You know, like, some people are not going to have those same concerns, and some people are doing it because maybe they suspect they do have some relatives out there that they want to find. Like, my friend Michelle texted me when we talked about this earlier this morning, and she found two half-sisters after going through, I don't know if it was Ancestry or, what is it, 23andMe? Is that what it's called?
23andMe.
Yeah, 23andMe. Mm-hmm. I don't know which of the two it was. She found she had two half-sisters.
See, I mean, that's cool. You can obviously learn really cool stuff from these websites.
Yeah.
You just have to think about what you're giving up. And like you said, maybe you're not concerned, and that's fine. It's just all of these things we have to think about now and the way they're using our data. Now, the reason they're saying that this company could be filing for bankruptcy is because last year the company announced it was laying off about 40% of its workforce and that it was closing its drug development arm. So now they're saying it's the stock dropped and there's just all these financial troubles. So maybe they're already in the process of having another company buy them out.
Maybe they're not charging enough, like Ancestry, which costs a stinking fortune to be a... I mean, it's $24, $25 a month, I think. I could be wrong about that. It may be more than that now. It's been a while since I got an email solicitation from them. But they want you to join, to get access to more information about who your relatives were.
So let's just say that you don't want to make that payment. You do the test because you send in your saliva sample. Will it give you names, and then you could take those names and say try to find them on Facebook, or it won't even give you the names of the possible relatives until you pay?
Well, because when you go on there, you create a profile and you create a username. So many people don't use their real names. So you probably can't find them just from their username. That's what you would find is a username in many cases. You might find a potential match. It would occasionally email you and say you have a potential match of a relative in so-and-so in Florida or something like that. And I just never followed up on any of that. But what they did send you was information in the mail, like and a file you could look at online with like a map of the world showing you what percentage of your DNA came from different areas.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fascinating. Like a lot of it from like the eastern seaboard of the U.S. and prior to that, some in Europe, like around Normandy, France, and then England, and then some like even 2% from the west coast of Africa.
That's
I think
cool.
I mentioned that earlier. I mean, I don't know what that means. Spice traders, you just have no idea what that part of your DNA came from.
Well, I know people will pay for these tests for their dogs. If it's a mutt and they adopt the dog and they have no idea what mix the dog is, they'll do, I don't know, it's not 23andMe, but there's some test you can do for your dog. Have you done that? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No. Why would you do that?
Well, people are that curious. Carl, do you know what
I'm
talking about?
Why would you care?
Because people love their dogs and they want to know, are they a mix between this or that? And I'm not saying I would ever do it, but I just know that something like that exists.
Only do that if you needed to prove that the dog was like a purebred.
No, it's curiosity.
It's a waste of money.
That's
well,
a waste of
you
money.
Could argue that, and I would agree with that argument. But people, I'll guarantee you, people listening right now have done this. Someone write in and tell me what that test is
called. None of us
are
purebreds. We're all half breeds, if you want to use that phraseology. We all are. It's a mixing pot, melting pot in the United States, and that's certainly the truth among dogs. For goodness'
people
sake,
really want to know.
People
mix
really
of their dog, or can you do it for different? I don't know.
People really want to put their money in a jar and burn it is what they really want to do. That's crazy talk. Coming up, Jesse Jane Duff. We'll talk to her more about what the President Trump's been going through with these federal judges. We'll get to that. And then Tom Ackerman is in joining us to talk about the Blues. We'll be right back.